You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This is Tuesday's edition of the podcast. Good to have your company. Sam Norris here, joined by Lord John Budden, to have a spin through the Monday jury first of all, and then we turn our attention on to two races from Sedgefield on Tuesday. Hopefully you can join us for all the action on Racing Radio. Ollie Pimlott is in the presenter's chair alongside Andy Holding and Kate Tracy for the day's racing. Got that Sedgefield card as mentioned, Market Raisin as well in the afternoon, then Kempton brings you the evening action all live on Racing Radio on Tuesday. But first and foremost, as I say, I'm joined in the studio by John Budden for this edition of the podcast. John, how are you, sir?
I am very well indeed. Absolutely excellent. Great month, February.
Yes, indeed. And January was a good month for you on the napping front as well, John.
It was, yes, yeah. Yes. Creeping up on the rails I am, but alas, I've made a failure on the first 2 days in February, so I'm not a back-to-back man, I feel.
Well, we were in the studio together on Racing Radio on Sunday, and you also added Irish bumpers to your string of knowledge, John.
Well, it was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, first of all, Will had 20-1 yeah. winner of a bumper. I thought, gracious me, that can't be followed. And then, no, my whole Leopardstown, I actually did the 25-1 yes. winner. Yes.
You weren't content for Will to tip all the big prize winners in bumpers. You had to strike back, John.
I had to strike back, Sam, yes. So we have to keep these young men in position.
Absolutely. Let's turn our attention on to the Monday jury first and foremost. Of course, some reflections from the weekend, just gone. Incredible weekend of racing at Leopardstown. And starting with one of the star performers of the weekend, Honeysuckle, who obviously took the Irish Champion hurdle on Saturday. And the question, John, which is the question a lot of people are going to be asking themselves between now and Cheltenham, does Honeysuckle go for the mares, or does Henry de Bromhead pull the trigger and send her to the Champion hurdle?
This is a very difficult decision, I think, Sam, and I imagine it's pretty difficult for connections,
yes.
Henry de Bromhead and the owners. Yes, there are two sort of factors, I think, about the mayor's hurdle. One is that the distance is perhaps a little bit short for Honeysuckle. It's 2 miles. I know it's a tough 2 miles, and it might be just a little bit more. But
the champion, you mean?
Yes.
The champion's 2 miles, yes.
For the champion hurdle. And therefore the mare's hurdle,
yes.
which is what I began to talk about, would be slightly more suitable,
yep.
Because it's the longer trip, and Honeysuckle would have more time to sort of get down to jumping the hurdles. Not that you jump badly over 2 miles, certainly not a fairy house when she won. However, there's also the slight problem of Bernie de Dieu.
Yes, of course.
Whether she's going to go for the mayor's hurdle. So it is a very difficult decision. I personally would go for the champion hurdle because I feel that she's got a really good chance of winning that in an open year. And, you know, she'll be remembered for winning the champion hurdle, etc. A great deal of status will be obtained. And I think she's got a very good chance of doing that. So I would actually go for the champion hurdle, but I can see that there are advantages for the mayor's hurdle, and it is a difficult decision.
Yes, absolutely. It would be good for the game if she was to go for the champion hurdle, John. We want the best 2 mile hurdlers in the premier two-mile hurdle race.
Yeah, I think so too, yes. And I hope Henry de Bromhead will, you know, persuade owners to go for the champion hurdle.
Looks potentially a weak division this year, the two-mile hurdling division. And one division that, doesn't look weak is the two-mile chasing division. And the second question this week, which camp are you in for an epic Queen Mother Champion chase? Obviously, Altior has made the race his own over the past few years, but there are lots of contenders for this year's renewal, John. This looks anything but weak.
Anything but weak. It's going to be a thrilling race. Probably one of the highlights of the festival. Well, could even be the highlight of the festival. Well, I can't change my mind. I've said on this program and on the podcast a number of occasions that Defi de Searle is my selection for the Queen Mother Champion Chase, and I cannot change my mind. And I don't really see why I should, because I reckon that Defi de Searle has been outstanding this year. Seems to me an improved racehorse, great deal of confidence in the Philip Hobbs stable. So Defi de Searle is still my selection for this race. But you have to say that Chacon Pourceaux was extremely impressive over the weekend at Leopardstown. And again, there is Altior.
Yep.
And, you know, if Altior can win this again, he'd have to go down as one of the outstanding chasers of the past two or three decades. But I'm a Defi de Searle man, and I'm not going to change my mind.
Yep, good stuff. Defi de Searle then in that one. On to question number three. Which beaten horse from Leopardstown could be a Cheltenham winner? Anything that caught your eye in defeat this weekend, John?
Well, yes, a couple caught my eye, definitely. And one of them was Ken Boy.
Yep.
I thought Ken Boy ran pretty well in the Gold Cup in Ireland and was only just barely beaten from the sort of last fence. And it was only his second outing of the campaign. One feels that Connections will be concentrating entirely on having Ken Boy absolutely spot on for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. He was beaten at the weekend on Sunday, but not beaten far, not disgraced, jumped adequately, stayed on pretty well, and he will be my horse to come up, the beaten horse to come out of the Dublin Festival.
Yeah, the Gold Cup's another race that looks potentially open as well, so we'll see what we get from Ken Boy come March. Next up, which performance impressed you the most from either Leopardstown or Sandown this weekend?
Well, I was keen on Delta Work, going to the Irish Gold Cup again. I think Delta Work has been talked about as being an outstanding contender for the Cheltenham Gold Cup for a couple of seasons. And he has now reached the point, in my view, that he is at the peak of his form, and he won well at Leopardstown. He showed the best speed on the run in. He jumped adequately. He looks to be capable of being settled nicely now. And I thought that Delta Work came out of the race extremely well. Obviously, I've just mentioned Ken Boy as the loser,
yes,
who I thought was had done particularly well and should improve. But I was on Delta Work, in fact, at Leopardstown. Pleased to see he won, and I think he can improve. And I was also pleased for Jack Kennedy in the saddle.
Yes, indeed. Although he obviously took a bad fall off Dallas de Picton, and I gather he's broke a bone in his leg. So,
has he?
Yes. So, I mean, these jump jockeys have a much shorter recovery timetable than us mere mortals, John. But
yeah,
I suppose his participation is in doubt at the festival, I guess.
Yes, I should think if he is, that would be a great pity, because I think he's had a slightly disappointing season, and that win on Delta Work was definitely a big plus. And he had his fist in the air after winning.
Yes, indeed. On to the next question. Would there be anything you would change about the Dublin Racing Festival to make it even stronger?
Yeah, difficult. Well, I probably go for a third day myself.
Okay.
And include perhaps a cross-country and a hunter chase, as well as some a number of other top-class handicaps. I think 2 days is a bit short for a festival myself.
Yeah.
So I would go for a third day. Two other suggestions. One, I think it's very important that the British trainers should send more horses to the Dublin Festival. It is, after all, pretty well placed, you know. I think the date is excellent.
Plenty of time before Cheltenham. You know,
there
you
is.
You can take in both, as most of the Irish horses will be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we talk about the spring festivals, Cheltenham and Aintree, but they're both sort of mid-March, April.
Yep.
Early Feb, it looks to me a very good date. So one hopes the Dublin Festival is going to continue, go from strength to strength. But I'd like to see more British horses moving to it. I think they should do. And perhaps an incentive should be given, travel money, etc., and possibly even for getting in the first six places, that kind of thing. And it perhaps would be nice to have a riding competition as well.
Yeah, okay. On to the final question then, and this is a look ahead to the weekend. What do you like in the Betfair Hurdle, or indeed anything else coming up this weekend? Of course, Newbury and Warwick taking centre stage this weekend.
The Betfair's impossible for me. I don't think I've ever managed to win. That's not quite true, but it's very difficult indeed. I went for Nigel Tristan Davis last year, and I do think, horses trained by Nigel Tristan Davis, particularly if they are either novices or just out of the novice stage, have got really quite a good chance. And it strikes me that Nigel has got, a decent chance this year. And I feel that his stolen silver has to be come into the Betfair with a decent chance. I hope I got the right name, but I think it is Stolen Silver. Otherwise, Haydock is on next Saturday.
Yep.
And one of my successes in the NAP stable in January was Vintage Clouds, who came back in tremendous form to score on the Peter Marsh at Haydock. And he is going to take part in the Grand National Trial, the Haydock Grand National Trial. He's not going to go to Aintree, I don't think, because he clearly doesn't like the fences. But he does like Haydock, and I thought he was very impressive at Haydock last time out. So Vintage Clouds would be my other horse for the weekend to score again at Haydock.
Good stuff. That's the Monday jury wraps up then for another week. We'll turn our attention on then to a couple of races coming up on Tuesday. We've got cards at Sedgefield and at Market Raisin in the afternoon. There's Kempton coming up in the evening, and it is to Sedgefield we go for the final two races on the card, beginning with the 405. This is a handicap hurdle, 3 miles and three furlongs here, so a pretty stout stamina test for the runners that line up. Talk us through one or two of these, John.
Yes, well, I rather like Sedgefield, and it takes quite a lot of getting, of course, particularly with the ground as it is at the moment. But anyhow, we've got Strike West in this contest, and Mickey Hammond, is a good record at Sedgefield. He runs quite a lot of horses there, and his strike rate is pretty good. Strike West ran easily the best race of his, certainly this season, and in my view of his career, last time out at Haydock, where he made virtually every yard of the running, particularly over the last half of the race anyhow, and was just done in the final strides by the favourite Buster Edwards, who even surprised commentator Gareth Topham, I think, on that occasion, because he really did finish with remarkable pace, Buster Edwards, and so poor old Strike West was just done inside the last 50 yards. Could go well. Sign of War is another horse who's come to form just recently, and his stable, of course, are in tremendous form, and Adam Wedge is riding for Evan Williams here, as he has done with great success throughout the season, and Sign of War was a good winner last time out over fences at Chepstow on his chasing debut. Goes back over hurdles, may not be quite as good over hurdles as he's likely to be over fences, I think. And then we have Pray for a Rainbow, though, again, another of the runners in this 405 who's shown really quite good form last time out, but precious little before that. Pray for a Rainbow was a good winner at Wetherby last time out for Sam Drinkwater. And he beat a horse called Wind of Hope, who was actually entered for this race at the five-day stage, but has opted out. So I thought that Pray for a Rainbow had showed improved form, must go pretty well. And then we've got Brian Hughes. Now, Brian Hughes regards Sedgefield as his best racecourse, his favourite track, and, you know, the stats show that he's got a tremendous record at the County Durham venue. And he rides Georgian Firebird for Barry Levy. I wouldn't say Barry Levy's got a great record at Sedgefield, but nevertheless, he's been training for many years and is a very sound, competent trainer. And Brian Hughes was in the saddle last time out on Georgian Firebird when they were just beaten at Catterick by That's My Dubai, which was quite good form, really. He retains the ride in this 405, and despite Pray for a Rainbow's chance, I think Georgian Firebird, with Brian Hughes on board, could go one better and win this contest at Sedgefield.
Georgian Firebird, the choice then for Barry Levy and Brian Hughes in that 4.05. On to the final race of the day at Sedgefield, then the 4.35. This is a handicap chase this time, 2 miles and 5 furlongs, 10 of them answer the call at the time of recording. Talk us through these, John.
Yes, well, we stick with Mickey Hammond here.
Yep.
And the reason why I stick with Mickey Hammond is that he did, in fact, have three quite fancied runners at the five-day stage, and he's opted to run Paddling of those three. And Paddling is something of a Catterick specialist, but he's running here at Sedgefield with Alan Corley in the saddle. And Paddling definitely is the form horse. And when you consider that Mickey could have had Agent Westby, who was a winner last time out, and Roxy Fett, who is a Sedgefield specialist, very much so, both over fences and hurdles, and he's opted instead to go for the third one, Paddling. And I think that has to be significant. What is possible to beat Paddling? Well, Two Hoots ran considerably better last time out at Market Raisin, only just beaten him a second, but he's pretty sort of modest horse. Martin Todhunter, on the other hand, has been among the winners over the past sort of fortnight or so, and he has got a Bocassian des Bois in this contest. Now, should not beat Paddling, because was 16 lengths behind Mickey Hammond's horse when third at Catterick last time out. But it was the first time that Mercati and Debois had been running for a while. We've got Danny Cook replacing Danny McMenamin in the saddle. I don't necessarily say that's a tremendous sort of promotion for Danny Cook. He's obviously one of the top jocks, but Danny McMenamin's by no means bad. So it's possible the Mercati and Debois will come back to form. He showed quite a lot of form in the autumn, and I wouldn't put him here without quite a serious chance. However, Paddling is the choice because he is Mickey Hammond's choice of three.
Paddling then gets the call in that 4.35 race at Sedgefield. Don't forget you can join us for all of the action on Tuesday. It'll be Ollie Pimlott alongside Andy Holding and Kate Tracy from 1.15 on Racing Radio, Sedgefield Market Raisin and Kempton. John, thank you for that. Genuine pleasure to chat as always, and good luck.
Thank you very much indeed, Sam. Yes, well, we struggle through, and let's hope that plenty of winners come during the week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.